Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are here, and realizing, Father, that there's a great purpose for your coming, and that was to gather together your children, to prepare us, Lord, for the going home, to bring us to the position or the condition of being mature, that we might be adopted, and Lord, that we might be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Be with us, Father, as we continue to study the message of Brother Branham's from the Spoken Word's original seed. We pray, Father, you'd help us and bless us, Lord, in our understanding. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I just have a short message from paragraph 97 from the Spoken Word's original seed, where Brother Branham said, "It's spiritually revealed. If you catch it, then it's the Word, and you see the Word made manifest." Now, just glancing at that thought is perhaps... we may not totally catch what he's saying here, but I think if we begin to look at the words that he's using, and let's just read them slowly. Okay, he says, "If it's spiritually revealed, if you catch it, then it's the Word, and you see the Word made manifest." So he's talking about then if the Word is spiritually caught, spiritually revealed, that's because it's manifested Word. You know, it's not like something invisible, something, you know, that you're trying to figure out. But let me just put it this way. He's saying when the Word becomes spiritually revealed to you, and only God can spiritually reveal His Word to you, then when you catch what He's revealing to you in His Word, it is at that time that that portion of Word becomes manifested before your very eyes. In other words, you see things happening, but you don't figure them out. But then you take your Bible and you begin to open the Bible and you begin to read, and all of a sudden that what you're seeing that you didn't understand is now that which you're understanding because you have the Word for it. From his sermon Investments, Brother Branham said, "His Word is interpreted unusual to what we sometimes have it interpreted. But as I've said before, God needs nobody to interpret His Word. He does His own interpretation by bringing to pass the thing that He said He would do. He interprets His own Word. He doesn't need our interpretation. Our interpretation is our own man-made thoughts that we put to it. When God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light, that needs no interpretation. God said, 'A virgin shall conceive,' and she did. That doesn't need any interpretation. Jesus said, 'The Son of Man goes up to Jerusalem and be given into the hands of sinful men, and they'll crucify Him, and on the third day He'll rise up again.' That needs no interpretation. He said, 'A little while and the world seeth Me no more, yet ye shall see Me. For I'll be with you even in you to the end of the age, to the consummation.' He's here. It doesn't need an interpretation. It's His promise. 'The works that I do shall He do also. He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also.' That's found in St. John 14 and 12. And we know that that's true. So it doesn't need any interpretation." Well, then why do we have a lot of people running around saying that John 14, 12 is them? I don't see the works that Jesus did being done by them. Do you, Wesley? So how can they say that they have the interpretation of that when the interpretation is God bringing it to pass? There's only one in this hour. It didn't say she, it said He. He signifies a singular, she signifies plural. When it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe," well, that's Mark 16, that's us, all of us, if we're believers. "But he that believeth," that's different. Now we find in 2 Peter 1 and verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Now Peter is talking about a specific personal experience that he had. Notice his words then. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, which when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard. So it wasn't revelatory. It was manifested. When we were with him in the holy mountain. In other words, we experienced it. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark places, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but Holy Ghost, men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter tells us here that we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure word needs no private interpretation. It is because, as he says, we heard his voice from heaven, and we were eyewitnesses of his majesty that shone all around us. In other words, we saw and we heard with two of our senses. And so we can be sure that this is what we saw is the interpretation of what God promised. Like when Brother Branham said, God needs no one to interpret his word. When God said, let there be light, there was light. It could have been a million billion years later, but when it finally came light, you could say, this is that. You see? And Paul says that if it's to be revealed, it can only be revealed because of the Spirit of God that is in us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. See, not seen, nor ear heard, no senses. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man had no clue. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, not just any Spirit, not man's Spirit, but the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. That's God's Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that ye might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Yet we do have the mind of Christ. Now, what I'm seeing from both what Peter and what Paul says here and what Brother Branham is saying is this. When God gives you his Spirit, you are now able to see what God sees. You're able to hear what God hears. Then that ought to make you be able to think what God thinks. You understand? You're coming into the mind of God. Those people that can see the same thing you're seeing and see nothing there. Because there's no Spirit there either. You see? Okay, and the Apostle Paul warns us in Ephesians 5:13, says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, speaking of this light, the Apostle John tells us in John 3:19-21, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, in a greater measure than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they had their source in God. So here it is again. Your source in God, Holy Spirit, now the deeds. The things I see, the things I hear, the hands that touched. And then he says, you know, we saw him. We heard him. Our hands have handled the word of life. Now we're going to declare it. Look at all those senses being used. You see? Manifested word. Okay, and speaking on the this word manifest, where it says, all things that, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The word manifest was translated from the Greek word phaneroo, which means to manifest in his true character, to appear, to become thoroughly understood as to what and who one is. And this verse also says that our deeds might be wrought in God, which means that they are performed. As in Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who's doing the performing of it? God is. He's the one seeing, right? That's a performance. He's the one hearing, right? He's the one speaking. You see? All right, and then again in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was also able to perform. Now, the fact is that this light comes about the evening time. The Bible says, in the evening time it shall be light. Brother Branham coming forth with a gift of discernment to cast light upon all. Then this ought to show us that God's interpretation of the coming of the evening light shows that the Word is here to manifest itself. Because remember, Paul says, that which makes manifest is light. Well, what was that then, that gift that we laid in the prophet that made manifest the counsels of the heart? That was the light. Right? Okay, I'm not trying to dance around words here. What I'm trying to get to the point is this. When Brother Branham is saying, look, he's saying, if it's revealed to you and you catch it, or if it's spiritually revealed and you catch it, he said, that's because it is a manifested word. All right? Or that is a minute to you that it becomes manifested. It's already manifested. Others have caught it before you caught it. It was manifested to them before it was manifested to you, or manifested to you before it was manifested to them. But you see, what I'm trying to get across is when it's spiritually discerned, when it's spiritually revealed, that's when that word becomes a reality. It becomes manifested word. Okay. Now, the scripture says that God will, you know, manifest the counsel of the heart. God comes in this hour to manifest, as we saw the light coming down. Actually, it's interesting that it is a light over the prophet's head, because all things are made known by the light, or discerned by the light. Those things which are hidden become unveiled, become material, become manifest. So God has interpreted the scripture for us by bringing it to pass. Now we can take... we can take that now and compare it to Malachi 4, because God promised that there would be light in the evening time. And I'd like to remind you that what this light is for. It is to show you where you're at and where you're going. So therefore, I'd like to read from Brother Branham's thoughts here just for a moment. With these thoughts in mind, let me just say, God promised that there would be a light coming again in the end time from Christ revealed his own word. He said, God promised that there would be a light come again in the evening time. For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the children back to the fathers to the children. Is that right? Lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Therefore, we're in the midst of a restoration work. All right, the restoration work actually has come. The restoration work has actually been manifested. But until your eyes are open to it, it was manifested, but you didn't see it. Remember, he says, no eye has seen or ear heard what has entered into the hearts of those, you know, whom God, but God will reveal them to us. So it's there. It's just that you don't see it. When is it that you begin to see it? When the Spirit of God is in you and you're beginning to receive the mind of Christ. Therefore, you're beginning to see what he sees. You're beginning to hear what he hears. As Brother Bell taught us years ago from Isaiah, the blind servant, who is blind to everything but what the Father wanted him to see, who is deaf to all things except for what God wanted him to hear. He could walk through a room of 300, go forward to heal one person, because that's all he saw. You see? Okay. So we're in the midst of a work of restoration where God is here working through an Elijah ministry to bring restoration to his children. Now, let's take St. Luke 17 and 30 and watch what Jesus prophesied there, saying, as it was in the days of Sodom, it'll be the same. Again, he's showing us here, he's telling us that the same characteristics that were displayed in the days of Sodom are being displayed today, as it was in the days of Sodom. And the word as means in the same manner. So as it was then, so shall it be now. That's Alpha and Omega. This is what he's telling us here, because the words are the word as means in the same manner as it was then. You know, it's interesting, we were listening to some tapes today while we're working at the house, and actually he was working, I was not. I was doing other things. But anyway, it's interesting when you listen to Brother Branham, he tries so hard to show you the Alpha and Omega so that you'll understand what's happening right now. He keeps pointing to a prophet in the old time, in days gone by. It doesn't matter which prophet. But he keeps pointing to that gift that prophet had or the discernment that Jesus had. And he keeps tying these things in. And it's like he wants to, you know, say, open your eyes. Here it is. It's manifested before you. But how many people saw? How many millions of people were healed? Or in those meetings anyway. Because 500,000 in Durban, 300,000, something like that. How many hundreds of thousands and even millions of people were aware of the gift, saw the gift, and yet saw nothing? Like Jesus said, you know, blessed are your eyes for you see, and your ears for you hear. Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You see? So I hope you can see the significance of spiritually revealed word bringing forth manifested word, rather than just written word or spoken word, because a spoken word is still in a promise stage. Whereas spiritually revealed word is in a manifesting stage. I'm going to repeat that again because that's basically where I want to get us to tonight. When the word is still in a spoken or written word stage, it is still hidden. It's still invisible. It's still mental. But when it becomes a spiritually revealed word, it is now in a manifesting stage. You're seeing it, you're hearing it, you're handling it. In other words, a promised word is yet invisible, while a revealed word is a manifested word, which is a visible materialization of that which had been hidden. Therefore, the invisible God had to become visible in order to show that his word is real and not just invisible. Not just, you know, like philosophy. 1 John 1, if you turn with me. Reading verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Notice, that is an audible sense, so it is no longer hidden. And then he says, that also which we have seen with our eyes. So again, that becomes a sensate thing or a manifested thing, if you can see it with your eyes. And then he says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. It's all in the physical realm. You can see it, taste it, feel it, smell it. It's there, manifested before you. It's reality. Now, just because you can't see it, doesn't mean someone else can't see it. Remember Gehazi when he was with Elijah. And he said, whoa, 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 Elijah. That's the camp of the Philistines. And God and Elijah said, Father, would you open this poor boy's eyes? When God opened his eyes, he saw there was angels of the Lord encamped around. And he said, there's many more of them than there is the Philistines. Brother Branham told the audience one time in the tabernacle, if you could only see those demons sitting on the walls like monkeys ready to jump on your back. Or how many people actually saw the demon come out of the little girl that looked like a bat? Well, the drunk saw him. Brother Branham saw him. But do you think anybody else saw it? Did the girl see it? I don't know. She might have seen it. But there's many times, see, Brother Branham could stand there and see the light over somebody's head or see a woman shadowed to death. Just because you and I couldn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't so. But when we have the Spirit of God, because Paul said, he tells us, that which, you know, that when the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. So when we have the Spirit, in us, we begin to see as God sees, hear as God hears, do as God would have us do. All right, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have also seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. So this lets you know right here that the invisible has become visible, thus clarifying or identifying what it is. Then he tells us that what it is, that we heard with our ears, and that we saw with our eyes, and we felt with our hands. He says, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness to it, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. How many of you have ever held a seed in your hand? I mean, come on, you've all had, right? All right. Now, were you able to identify what kind of seed it was? Or have you just held a bunch of seed in your hand? And well, could you imagine in your eyes, when you look at that seed, can you see the life that's in that seed? Now, it's easy if you have an acorn in your hand, you can picture an oak tree, right? But how about a mustard seed? Can you picture a mustard plant? Unless you've seen a mustard plant, you can't picture a mustard plant, can you? And there's all kinds of seeds that we probably eat, but we never see the plant, right? Like sesame seeds. How many have seen a sesame plant? But the thing is, the life is still there. And if we could somehow look into that seed and see the fully mature plant, then we would see the life manifested. Well, what they saw and heard and touched and felt and declared back to us was a fully matured, manifested Son of God. The life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we've heard it, and we bear witness. We felt it, we touched it, and we're telling you what we saw. A more sure word because we've seen it. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness to it, that's seeing it, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So here we see that it had not been manifested. If it had not been manifested, we couldn't see it. There'd be no clue to the life that was in it, the nature of that life. But since it manifested itself, we saw the nature. We saw the life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, this makes the invisible word visible. It makes that which cannot be seen able to be seen, and therefore a reality. Therefore, it was essential that God appear in flesh before the Son of God would appear in flesh at the second coming. I hope that we can understand the correlation between then the appearing and coming. You see, we didn't see the body of God, but we saw God in a body. Right? No man could do the things that William Branham did. We saw miracle after miracle. We saw the supernatural on display, the very nature of God on display, the projecting of love, all those things. So what were we seeing with? Because others thought it was a devil. Who was it in you that was seeing those things? It was the Spirit of God. You see? Notice the very purpose of Jesus coming into the flesh was to establish the Word, make it to live. So in the scene back in Genesis when Abraham met God, we can see one God come down and stand before a man who represented a group of people or a seed line. And this one man that stood before this royal seed was the eternal God who made the promise of a son. And the same God came in the royal seed body of Jesus and again has come back to visit this seed lineage in this hour, veiled in human flesh, to point us to the soon arrival of the promised royal seed, the Son, Jesus himself. That's why when they asked Brother Branham the same words that they asked Jesus, when they said, show us the Father and it'll suffice, he said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Now that doesn't make William Branham God, and it was God that stepped into him and spoke forth from him. That is what God said he would do back in Numbers. In Numbers 12 and verse 6 to 8, he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So God is saying, look, I'm going to manifest to you, but I'm not going to do it the way you're looking for it, dreams and visions. I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk right from the man's mouth. And when his mouth moves, when those lips move up and down, that's going to be me speaking. Now notice how God told us straight without being around the bush. How much more plain can you get? That's why Brother Brown could tell us in the sermon Christ revealed in his own word, he said, and there will be no further advancement than what you are seeing right now. This is all of it. Therefore, if he said, we've seen all of it, then we've seen all of it. Now, in my understanding of our language, A-double-L means all. It means everything. And there is nothing outside of it, period. That is why I cannot understand why so many claim to believe this message are looking for some great thing to come forth for the bride. They're saying God is in his church, and yet Brother Branham so often said God is not in his church, God is in his word. God said, let every man's word be a lie, and mine be the truth. So we see Brother Ram tell us that there will be no further advancement than what you are seeing right now. That's all of it. So when he says that we have seen it all, then when we have seen God, the fullness of God, the all of God, come down and manifest himself in flesh, and we saw him doing the same thing that he did when he appeared to Abraham and when he was in the body of his son, we've seen the fullness of the Godhead on display. From the rapture, Brother Ram said, when you see God come from the heaven and stand before groups of men and stand there, declare himself, just as he did, and that's the truth in the Bible open, see, that's right, we're here. Well, let me read that again slowly. When you see God, I thought God's invisible. When you see God come from the heaven, stand, not floating around somewhere, but stand before groups of men, stand there, declare himself just as he ever did, and that's the truth in the Bible open. See, that's right, and we're here. And the denomination system is dead. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with a husk on the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to the Methodist, I belong to the Baptist, I belong to the Pentecostal. You get into Christ, and if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God makes that thing manifested. Because when he pours the Spirit upon the Word, what happens? Just like putting water on any seed, it'll live, it'll bring forth of its kind. So there you are. It takes the water. It takes the seed. I hope you can better understand than when Brother Branham is talking about, why do you see things that others don't see? Because there's watering. There's Spirit. There's watering of the life. And you're actually seeing with God's eyes. You're hearing with God's ears. Then we've seen it all. And he says, so there will be no further advancement than what you're seeing right now. Then we will see no further advancement, period. That is why before he died, he told us that all that is left is for the bride to lay in the presence of what is already here. The presence of the Son, and we will ripen. And Christ revealed his own word, paragraph 156, that a fine minister said a while ago, said, Brother Branham, I could just have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I said, son, the revival's over. See, now the stabilizer's been put on the ship. Great fearful waves are out here before us, but we know that just beyond that wave, yonder, we're nearing the shore. See, we're nearing the shore, so just stay stable. Now, I'd like to ask the question, how can I just stay stable with so much falsehood being preached among the churches, even in this message? Well, Brother Brown goes on to tell us, he says, just stay in the Word, stay with God. No matter how you feel, what anything else, stay with the Word, let it stay stable. When you see all these great big old clouds around, and storms are coming, and atomic bombs and everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said it. God said it would be here. We'll crest every one of them. We'll go right over the top of them. Yes, indeed. They can't sink us. They can't drown us. You put us in the grave, we'll come out again. That's just all there is to it. There ain't no way in the world to keep it down here. We'll caress every one of them because our great chief captain is calling at the other side. We've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life will brave. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. And in closing, it just reminds me of a story that I heard Brother Branham when I was listening to put the tape on in the hallway and listened to Brother Branham all night. And this morning I was listening, And he was talking about this man who he came to Brother Branham's house, and Brother Branham was out mowing the lawn and in his bib overalls, and the man came up, pulled up in this big truck, and Brother Branham said, I went out to the front to see what it was about. And he said, I'm looking for Pastor Branham. And he said, that's me. And he said, well, he said, I'd like to talk to you for a moment, but I see you're busy, so I'll just come back another time. And Brother Branham said, no, that's fine. So would you like to go in the house? He said, no, we can just sit out here in the shade, it's fine. So he began to talk, and he said, Brother Branham, he said, when I was born, he said, my mother baptized me as an infant in the Lutheran church, he said, and I think that was the last time I was ever in church. And he said, so I've been 40 some years and without God, without Christ in my life. He said, but I'm married and have been very successful in business. And he said that my wife a few years ago, she started searching. She went to Baptist and went to this and that, and she finally come to a Pentecostal church, and she got these spirits on her. And he said, she shouted and all those things. And Brother Ram kind of chuckled. He said, well, she got, these spirits. And but anyway, he said, I was selling a car one day, and I was just finishing up the sale, and I reached my pocket, and I don't know how it got there, but there was something. I pulled out a little note, and it said, do you know where you'll spend eternity? And he said, well, I didn't think too much of it. I just threw it in the trash. But I took a step forward, and I thought, I've got to answer that one day, don't I? He said, then I tried to push it out of my mind. I took another few steps, but I kept coming back to that. I'm going to have to answer that. So he said, I tried everything. I went to the Baptists and tried them. I went to the Methodists, and they told me that, he said, I went to the Baptist, I went to a Billy Graham crusade, and after the service, they brought me in a room, and they said, do you accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God? He said, yes, I do. He said, well, you've got it then. That's it. And he said, but I knew that that wasn't it. Well, he said, then I went to the Methodist church, and they told me I need to be sanctified. And so he said, I tried to clean up my life and everything else, and he said, but there's still something missing. I just don't know what it is, but I then went to the Pentecostal church, and they tarried with me until I spoke in tongues, and they said, well, now you got it. And he said, but I don't got it. And so he said, Brother Branham, what am I missing? And Brother Branham said, well, he said, look, he said, I don't disagree with any of them. He said, the Baptist making your confession, that's right, that's a good thing to do. He said, sanctification, I believe in that. We should live a sanctified life, pleasing to the Lord. And he said, the Pentecostals wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all have a part of it. But he said, here's the thing of it. He said, what was it that tugged at you that made you think about it? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I just couldn't get past that. He said, that's right. He said, right then is when you got it. And he said, you mean to tell me all this time I've had it and I didn't know it? He said, yep. He said, when Christ revealed that path for you to take, when you made that decision that you were going to do that, that's when you received him. And what he was talking about is, you see that seed gene that lays in there. When that seed gene is quickened to life, it's quickened to life. It doesn't matter what stage it's in. It's quickened and it's growing. Let's just close. In Mark 16 and 20, Scripture says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And the word confirmed here is from a Greek word, bibao, and it means to confirm, establish, and stabilize. And that is why we see that there must come forth this evening light manifested word to bring forth what is needed for the people to be stabilized. You see, when you can see, I don't believe, as Brother Branham said, we don't go by feelings and we don't go by, you know, any type of evidences like that. You know, when he talked to Brother Vail, he said, well, we don't go by experience. He wasn't saying we don't have experience. You just don't go by it. I mean, because the devil can interpret, or he can, you know, he can duplicate anything that God does for you. So you can't put your stock in those things, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't do those things. You know? And so what we're looking at then is when you see the word and it's becoming material to you, then what's happened is Brother Brown called that spiritually revealed or spiritually, what's the word he used? Basically, it's spiritually quickened. And all I'm trying to say is this, that there is a movement of God called grace. It's something that is freely bestowed upon you, unmeritedly. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You know, being born again out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You know, not him that runneth or him that willeth, but it's God who shows mercy. Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 and 10, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which has been given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched, you're fertilized by him in all logos and all knowledge. So see, it's he doing it. He which began the good work will finish it. Even as the testimony of Christ has been confirmed in you. Testimony of Christ, not your testimony. The testimony of Christ has been confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, no spiritual endowment, well, to be endowed means, like we call a person that's endowed, you know, they're very gifted. You know, they can do things that other people can't do. And he says that this gift, this grace has been given to us so that we come behind in no spiritual endowment and no understanding, waiting for the unveiling, the apocalypsis of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So how can we speak the same thing unless we have the same mind? Then what I'm seeing, you're seeing. What I'm hearing, you're hearing. You see? And that's why Peter said, that which we've seen, that which we heard, that which we felt, we declare unto you that you also might see and hear and feel. And finally, closing 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope, that means earnestly expect to the end, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we could just look back to when this revelation began to break and the journey God has taken us on since that time and the things that he's opened our eyes to and the manifested word as we see the word just manifesting itself on a daily basis to us. In John 14:21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In John 3:21, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. So we see the scriptures talking to us and telling us that there is a difference between just a spoken word, a written word, and a manifested word. And it's manifested because it's been spiritually revealed. And it's spiritually revealed because God's Spirit does the revealing. And you have to have his Spirit in you in order to see with his eyes, hear with his ears, etc. That ought to give you a little bit of strength when you see the days approaching to realize that what you're seeing are the things God sees. The world doesn't see them. They have no hope. They don't know what the answer is. We do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that these few words of your prophet but have such great power. Realizing, Father, that we see because you see. We hear because you hear. We feel because you are touched by the feeling of our infirmity. So, Lord, help us to be conformed to the very image of your firstborn Son who came forth in your image. May the mind that was in Christ be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.